We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, May 1st. It's gonna be May. It's finally here. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas A&M class of 2014.
I'm May, fighting Texas A&M class 2015. I can't believe it's already May. It just, every year it just seems like it flies by, man.
Yeah, and probably a good thing too. I feel like 25 flying in comparison to what we saw in 24. I felt like 24 just drug forever. I don't know about you, but that was the case for me.
Yeah, days drag and the weeks fly by, man.
Yes, sir. We do have plenty to get into this week, both results from this past weekend as well as some critical matchups coming up here pretty soon. But I guess we can kick it off with softball.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just kind of disappointing on the diamond, just however you cut it. Depending on how many Aggie sports you watch, you know, men's golf dropped the SEC championship. That sucked. So softball salvages a win out of the series, and at home, that's not exactly what you want to see.
Yeah.
They didn't look bad, honestly. It was, you know, it was a tight series. It seemed like the pitching regressed over the weekend. You know,
right.
Where you're only relying on Emily, and then even Emily, you know, gives up some untimely hits, so to speak. But again, there's no reason for alarm with the softball team. You know, they're finishing up their regular season this weekend. But you know, Arkansas, they're a good team.
Right.
And it's a top 10 matchup. So it's, you know, this league in softball is no different than baseball. You know, you've every weekend you're gonna be playing a quality team, you know, and so they've been on such a hot streak. It was unfortunate to see that happen this weekend.
Right.
But again, it only drops them to four. Unless they go to Tennessee and just get absolutely embarrassed, they're still on track to host Super. So biggest thing for me is a win one at Tennessee. If you can win the series, you do yourself a world of good. So I think, you know, just like we always say, just don't get swept on the road kind of thing.
Right.
And so I expect them to respond. Tennessee is obviously the number one team in the country, but you know, we're the number four. That's a top five matchup. That's legitimate softball. That's some of the best softball you'll see all year. And so, not overly worried. Just had a couple of players kind of slump for the weekend and some key players. And yeah, you got to, when you're playing a top 10 matchup or a top five matchup, I mean, not everybody can be on it and can be nails, but when you have like a total slump, like a hitless weekend or something like that, it's from an important spot in the lineup. That's tough. Did some booting the ball around the diamond a little bit too. That kind of reared its ugly head. Yeah, that's just something you just clean up. Honestly, they're not a team they're not a poor defensive team. Just sometimes you have those days or even weekends where I don't know if your head's just not in it or you're just kind of in a brain fog for the weekend.
Yeah.
And so, but I expect them to clean things up. I expect them to go to Knoxville and compete. If I had to pick, I'd say they win a game.
Yeah.
I'd love for them to win too, but yeah, I think they could scratch a game out of that series, and that's really all they need to do, quite frankly. And
yeah,
then just head on to the SEC tournament. So they won a game. So that was one more than baseball. Flip it over to baseball. That was such a tight series. And it's the small things not going your way.
Yeah.
On the first two games. Those were just really tight games. And quite frankly, looking at it, the better team won is what it feels like. Having a home field advantage helps. Both baseball and softball, just absolutely pitiful officiating yet again. Pitiful on both sides, but there were a couple calls, a couple more calls that went the wrong way than the right way. But baseball just, I don't know if they were playing too tight or if they went into a shell or what it was, but they just didn't look like themselves. Number one team in the country, and you have an opportunity to do stuff and just can't seem to manufacture runs, can't seem to manufacture hits. You can't have errors against a team like the Sips. And then, in game three, you kind of sit in the driver's seat for a little while and you just completely blow it. And so it's, Wesson Moss came in and just kind of basically ended the game at that point. It just didn't feel like there was any way back once they had the bases loaded and you knew they were about to start playing base to base. So it goes back to that depth in the bullpen thing we've talked about. Obviously there's some injuries. So we have there's some arms that we don't have coming out of that bullpen, but that really can't be an excuse. Like the guys you have to produce and they have to go out there and perform and they're just kind of not doing it at times. We're like a two arm bullpen basically is what it feels like. Sometimes it's Weston Moss and Brad Rutas. And that kind of feels like they're the only two guys that have consistently come out and performed. And then Weston came out and he just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But after his performance on Friday, you wondered how much he had left in the tank to begin with. And you get in that bullpen on Sunday and you're feeling good. And, your bullpen session's going great. You're warming up. You feel good. But it's different when you get out there on the mound and that adrenaline, like you can't maintain that adrenaline throughout your appearance. And it just couldn't locate. We just a ton of balls. It's just what it comes down to. Just wild pitching. And so, but again, you'd like to see the offense produce more relative to what they had been producing.
It's very true. I mean, you look at what happened with this series against Texas. I mean, obviously, we don't want to see a sweep. I mean, you lose the series on 3 runs, which is, against the number one team in the country. And frankly, yeah, I'm not afraid to say it. Better team won. I mean, they were playing better. They looked better. And they certainly held that on the field. Yeah, we can go back and look at certain calls. We can look at some
Oh,
issues
the
at
calls,
different places.
yeah, the calls didn't affect the outcome of the series or the game. I
No.
mean, because quite frankly, when you're the last out, like you can't watch a borderline pitch go by. Like you can't just hold onto the bat like that.
No, I would always. Oh, we've talked about it on here before. I'd always rather go down swinging than looking every single time.
Absolutely. That's
But as far as I mean, yeah, it's a tough series. But I mean, you really can't sit here and dwell on it. I know we looked back and asked the questions like, was there some kind of maybe some hangup? I think at the end of the day, it was always going to be an emotional series. I mean, we saw that with the ejection of Gavin Cash, and granted, that was a built-in relationship going back to last season. But on that same token, on the officiating front, Jeff Head is an absolute menace to society, and he needs to have a reevaluation after
Yeah.
what we saw specifically in the Lamar game coming up this past week. I'm sure you saw.
He's like the Angel Hernandez of the NCAA. Like he's just the worst.
Just not great. And I mean, you're going to throw somebody out for questioning a call that was so very clearly a missed call on your part if you go back and look at video, and then you claim you can't review it, and that ends up being a grand, ends up being a grand slam. I don't blame Early for getting after him, but I will say good on the SEC for not allowing this to be an extended
Mention.
suspension, thank goodness. Because that was absolute horse hockey for anybody that was watching. That's just not okay.
It almost feels like the SEC went back and looked at the tape and they were like, we're not going to suspend him because that was a terrible call.
Right. It's like, granted, once again, didn't really affect the outcome of the game. It was never going to, but that could, in a different game, different situation, I completely understand blowing up on him for that because you need to make the calls right. But as far as the bats, I mean, looks like they kind of got their head back on their shoulders against Lamar, and now you got a 3-game set with LSU in a sequence now where you are now completely, you have one more Tuesday game in Houston, but outside of that,
That doesn't matter towards getting to the postseason
no,
anyways.
you need to win 6 of 9. That's been the magic number that everybody's been floating around. You need to get 6 of 9 out of these final 9 SEC games, with the first of those three coming against number 2 LSU at home, Missouri at home, and then going on the road to Georgia. So the question now becomes, where are we getting those 6 wins? I think you have to get all three against Missouri. And I say,
Have they still haven't won a conference game, have they? Did they?
I
If
don't
they have, they're
know.
like
We can
one or two.
find out.
Yeah. So you've got to sweep Missouri, and that means you need three between home stand against LSU and then going on the road to number 9 Georgia. So it's still a tall task in front of you because
0 and
otherwise.
21. 0 and 21 conference is Missouri.
All right, so you absolutely have to sweep Missouri.
Yeah, no
And
questions.
assuming Missouri is a sweep, it's still a tall task. I mean, you would almost rather have LSU on the road and Georgia at home.
No question.
But then again, the road home splits have seemed to eluded this team anyway, so it doesn't really matter where you're going to play them.
Right.
I mean, you'd love to be on the road at Missouri and get both LSU and Georgia at home,
Right.
but yeah, I mean, I think you can make a statement, and they understand the pressure that they're under because if you get 5 more, Selection Sunday is going to be squeaky bum time, unless you win the SEC tournament, right?
Right.
So I don't know because the better team is your home series.
Right.
But us playing LSU can be a crapshoot sometimes.
I'll say this for the LSU series. It traditionally has never really been a sweep. I feel like every single time we've played them, it has been 2-1 one way or the other. You got to like your chances at home. You got to think that the crowd hopefully is going to be up understanding it. Yeah, you did have a bit of an emotional letdown this past weekend, but you can't let that affect another rivalry series, in particular one that is so vastly important for your postseason aspirations. You need to go out here and do your job. And we need to see that energy, not just from the fans, but 100% from the players.
Yeah, I mean, we really needed one last weekend, to be honest, because then it would have just been, you sweep Missouri and you need one from each of the top 10 opponents you got left on your schedule. So it's tough, man.
It is.
If I were a betting man, the way we get to 6 is winning the series with LSU and not getting swept at Georgia.
Pretty much, I thought, yeah.
I mean, obviously you don't want to assume anything in baseball, but man, they haven't won a conference game. So like we're going under the assumption that we sweep Missouri, basically, is where we're at. Because
Yes.
if we don't sweep Missouri, you're in deep doo-doo.
You're
Then
gonna have to sweep one of the other two.
you'll have to win both series.
Right.
And you don't ever want to have to be in a situation going to Georgia where you need a sweep, because that's absolute crazy talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be tough sledding. And then yeah, once you're in the SEC tournament, we gotta see if you can put on a run, but we've found that when it does come down to SEC tournament, what is the most important thing you need in the SEC tournament? Pitching depth.
Yeah, which we don't have.
So that's kind of out the door as an option to get us to where we need to be. So if you want to do your job, you need to take 6 of 9, preferably win the series this weekend, sweep Missouri, steal a game at, in Athens. Win the series if you want. By all means, get out there and do it. But we gotta see what happens.
Yeah, it's one series at a time again, assuming the Missouri sweep again, but I don't want to keep harping on it, but baseball's baseball,
It
man.
is.
And so really, and this kind of goes into what we were talking about last week, but for different reasons. It's not going to be Jim Schlossnagel in the other dugout this weekend. But there's an understanding that they need to press to win this series. And so again, you hope that coming off of the disappointing weekend last week, because I don't count Lamar game. I'm not going to.
No.
Positive or negative, it
It's
doesn't
there.
matter. Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Are they gonna press to win the series? Can they just go out there and play the baseball that they had been playing before the Texas series? Go out there and play open, fluid baseball, as mistake-free as humanly possible, and win the series against LSU. If you go into Sunday, like if we can win Friday, Saturday, I could see Sunday them actually really pressing and getting blown out of the park.
Yeah.
But again, that's the number two team in the country, man. So this is a tall task. I don't care that they're at home. That's, talent travels.
Yeah, yeah, they're not leaving all the big hitters in Baton Rouge. They're coming. Everybody's
Yeah.
coming. You know, just part. That's
Yeah,
baseball, man.
and they're healthy, and that's an LSU program that's generally also very deep. And so I don't know, man. It's getting down to the brass tacks, and we know what the number needs to be, because if you only get five instead of six,
Iffy at
yeah, I
best.
mean, how much faith do you have in selection committees when it comes to A&M?
Well, I mean, and considering the early comments have us currently sitting as, if you look at the numbers, like one of the last four in is the current projection. So when you're already sitting on the edge of the knife, don't give them any excuses to leave you out.
Yeah, that's really what the biggest thing is going to come down to is you can't leave it in the committee's hands. We've seen this with basketball, not necessarily with us, but we've seen it in baseball. I mean, these committees are human. They're not going to they're never going to be straight computer, and they're never going to it's so it's just
There
it.
will be bias there. It's going to be what it's going to be like. I know it's typically kind of opposite when you think about other sports, but it's like, do we really need another SEC team in there that like barely qualifies in our mindset? Like, no. Put yourself in a better position. Get yourself a little better stock over these next few weeks, and they know what they need to do. It's not going to be easy, but you know what you need to do.
Well, and the most upsetting part is we still need somebody to step up out of the bullpen. Period. Like, I don't care if they're righty, if they're lefty. I don't care if they're knuckleballers. I don't give a shit. But if we don't have another arm out of the bullpen, making the postseason really isn't going to fully matter. And that's kind of the suck of it. So you've got nine, excuse me, you have 10 games to find somebody that can do something out of the bullpen for more than one batter.
I
And
agree.
so that's kind of where we're at with it, which totally sucks, but it's we're just being fact of the matter with it. And so you've got 10 games and all those practices to find some sort of magic combination out of the bullpen that we can use, we can use in our favor, even if it's chewing up four batters. Fine. That's an inning of work that we can take off of Rudess's plate, or we can take off of Moss's plate. And so we've just, they have absolutely, the bullpen has absolutely got to, they got to perform, and they've got to perform better than they have been. So somebody, I don't care who it is. Like I
Anybody.
said, yeah, it's the depth issue. And so I thought, I really liked the starting pitching over the weekend.
Oh yeah. No.
I thought they were really good. I thought they were the highlight for the team, honestly, over the weekend.
No question.
So starting pitching looked really good. And that's one of those things where I know it's late in the season, but if the starting pitching can just chew up more innings, they're putting up the right scores on the board. I just would like to see more efficiency through the innings. And I understand that they were facing the number one team in the country, and they're going to turn right around and face the number two team in the country.
Again,
Yeah, again. And
again, this
so
season, deja vu.
It's there's a lot of pressure on that starting pitching. I just the only improvement I would say out of them, honestly, is just efficiency. Just get a little deeper into games and trying to release some of the pressure from the bullpen. So that way, Moss isn't coming out on a Friday and throwing 50, and then he's coming and we're expecting him to come out on Sunday and perform again for what, another 25 pitches. It's just too much to put on his plate, which is like every relief pitcher has their limitations. That's not a knock on Moss by any means,
Just
but
reality.
50 pitches. What do you have? Like 50 some odd pitches on Friday night. So like that many pitches in a charged up, fired up environment, like that doesn't just take the physical toll. It's not the physical. It's the mental. It's the adrenaline. You're emotionally drained. So that is one nice thing is, I mean, I know LSU's kind of our rival, but you really got your big rivalry and all the hype around it weekend out of the way. Now this is just back to baseball, right? This is baseball in the SEC. This is life in the SEC. You got a number two team. You're going to play the number nine team. You get a little breather in between, but the pressure's on you to perform, and it's got to start tomorrow night. It's got to start again. Like I always say, it's got to start with Ryan Prager on the bump, him giving us a great outing, which he's been,
Last
we've
weekend.
got, Yeah, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about we didn't know what was going on. Felt like he was tipping his pitches or something. Well, whatever it was, it seems like they seem to have fixed it because, the outing that we saw, I think he's looked great, man. And again, the starting pitching, you're not going to hear a lot of complaints out of me other than just getting deeper into games, which means just throwing less pitches for each out.
Yeah. Efficiency. I mean, I know strikeouts are fun. Strikeouts are a great stat. But I mean, if you're forcing ground balls, quick innings, that's a big deal. You keep your pitch count within 10 for an inning. I mean, that's killer.
I mean, even when you're at 12, like even when you're at 12, honestly, if you can, I mean, what is it? Because if you get up to 15, you're at 90 after six,
Right.
and that's, in the college world, that's pushing it.
It
You're
is.
pretty much at the end of your rope, but being in that 12 pitch range, you're at 84 after seven.
Yeah, that's.
So it's just that efficiency part of being able to get deeper into a game by inducing like contact that creates outs.
Exactly.
Some pitchers are great at it and some aren't. Like some are just the people that are they're going to work around you until they strike you out, which is great, but it just takes a toll on your pitch count because you've got to throw stuff that's not in the strike zone to set up the stuff in the strike zone.
Right.
So it's just you'd like to see just a little bit more depth, but again, like that's the only complaint I have. Caden Sorrell is just ridiculous, just absolutely completely bonkers. Royo, just dumb man, especially on Tuesday night. Like he's been really fun to watch his progression, and he's going to be really good for us. But I mean, this weekend you need to first and foremost you got to play mistake-free baseball because you can't just give stuff away. So you got to play mistake-free baseball. I haven't seen the umpiring crew yet, so I don't know if Senior Cabeza is coming.
That's a great name, Senor Cabeza. We're gonna hold on to that. That's pretty great.
Mr. Head.
Mr. Head.
So yeah, I'd like to see some more hits offensively, just string some hits together and get guys in. Like so many lobsters over the weekend. And
Killer.
yeah, it's just absolutely killer. I mean, you're talking about getting two, you have bases loaded, you have two men on, and you just can't seem to scratch them across. And in a series that was as tight as it was, that timely hit can change everything. You lose a game by one, you get a double and you knock in two, and you won the game by one. Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly how it works because obviously they'll play it differently on the backside, but still it's the timely hitting when you have men in scoring position and really just men on base. Some of our best hits are coming with two outs and nobody on.
Yeah, and that's
That's
awesome.
not the time to turn it on. I mean, turn it on anytime you want because two out rallies are great and they certainly occur plenty, but there's got to be more timely hitting. We've got to stop leaving men on base.
Going back to
Softball had a problem with that too, quite frankly, over the weekend.
let me double check what Sunday looked like because I'm looking at the numbers here just for my own insanity here. So talking about lobsters here for a minute. 28 lobsters in Austin.
That's bonkers. That's a lot.
Think about that. 28 lobsters and we scored 9 runs. Oh no, that less than that. We scored 8 runs.
And we've left an average of nine guys on base per game. That's really tough. It's
That is tough.
the timely hitting, man. And I know that obviously the pitching is good. I get it, but at some point you got to break through. And so that cannot occur this weekend, and it cannot occur in Athens.
And maybe just a sidebar, but how much of that falls on Max Wiener knowing our guys? At least a handful of them.
I mean, I'm sure it's got something to do with it, but
You still got to be smart with your timely hitting. You're not wrong.
yeah, I mean, honestly, any person, it doesn't matter how much he knows him. He would have had a whole year worth of tape on him anyways.
Right.
So I don't think that necessarily has much to do with as much as he's just really good at what he does. I would love to see him go to Mississippi State.
Oh, I was about to bring that up. I would kill for him to go to Mississippi State if for any other reason, just to get him out of Boston.
No, 100, yo, dude, that's my entire thought behind it. Like,
Yeah,
get him to Starkville. And we'll see what a first time head coach looks like.
him a shot.
I would love for him to fill that position.
Please.
Mississippi State, what a fall from grace.
No kidding. I mean, that same coach. I mean, you go from a national title winning coach just a few years ago to canned mid-season. I mean, I never really much liked canning a coach in the middle of the season. I mean, I didn't
Unless
like
it's
it.
misconduct, there's no reason.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't like it when we did it to Jimbo. I don't like it when it gets done to other people. It just, for me, it's like you got to ride out the year for these type of situations. Get to the actual main section, postseason. Let the portal sort itself out, figure out your coaching situation, all that good stuff. I mean, I don't know. I just, like I said, outside of a misconduct situation, I agree. I think you got to let them ride it out.
Well, it's not like you're getting a jump on hiring.
No.
Nobody's leaving their school mid-season. So
No.
it's just
No. Yeah, like I said, it is a
there's a
crazy.
goofy situation over there.
Yeah, odd for sure. Couple of questions, both from Notorious Bags. He had a couple of questions for us, so I figured I'd jump in on that. So first question, been the craze of the internet last few days. It's stupid, but we're gonna go ahead and answer it anyway. Want a good answer on the 100 men versus gorilla debate. Also, 100 men versus grizzly bear or polar bear.
Really,
Stupid.
some of the things that catch on and go viral remind me just how one stupid people can be, and two, like where we're at as a society that this is entertaining.
Well, I mean, and asking questions that are just like, it's a simple answer. One guy with a gun's gonna put down that gorilla. It's gonna take 2 seconds. But if they're unarmed in this case, I mean, yeah, you'd lose a couple of guys here and there, but you're gonna overwhelm them with 100 people. It's just a fact of life. Gorillas are big, but an average sized person, a handful of them would take care of a gorilla.
Not King Kong.
Right. Well, and if we're being completely intellectually honest, this goes to the other question. This one I'll pose to you, because there is a right answer to this question, and that is the gorilla versus grizzly bear argument.
A gorilla versus a grizzly. Was it grizzly bear or polar bear?
Grizzly bear.
Okay. You said polar bear. I'm like, that's an odd variation of that question.
No. Yeah. Grizzly bear versus a gorilla.
This one's tough because they're both pretty dang strong and the bear has claws. But I would probably have to still go, like, if we're talking like a full-blown silverback, like those are disturbing creatures. Be a good fight.
Be a good fight. But
I mean,
there is.
I would probably err towards a grizzly bear because, honestly, a large part of it is because of the claws. I mean, those are open wounds with every punch, whereas like a gorilla, he's gonna have to bite you. And a grizzly bear will bite too.
Here's the deal. Grizzlies are significantly larger. They have much more durability as far as their claws, their teeth, all that fun stuff. And this is the other factor that a lot of people don't consider between a grizzly and a gorilla. The gorilla is like main portion of their skin. I mean, that's just skin tight. The moment that gets cut, they're toast.
Bear's got layers of fat.
Grizzly is nothing but hair and fat and padding. Like, grizzly would absolutely demolish a gorilla, and it's not even a question.
The gorilla would have to get behind the grizzly and literally choke hold him.
And good luck. Grizzlies.
I will say that the gorilla can probably climb a tree faster, though.
Yeah, no question about that. No question about that.
There is an aerial attack portion of this.
Right. And that's where a black bear comes into the factor. Like, they are far more arboreal. They can play around more in the trees. I'd be curious to see. Also, that'd be a more balanced matchup, a black bear versus a gorilla. That would be way more balanced. The tree. Silly questions. But the second question, this one's got a little bit more. I'd say, all right, if you were an MLB GM, who are you drafting first, Jace Laviolette or Caden Surrell?
Well, and here's the thing. I think before this season, we knew he had pop, but we didn't know he had the kind of pop he did, Sorel. Like legitimate pop, opposite field power, and you don't see it in his frame. Who's faster? I mean, that may literally be what it comes down to. Well, you know what though? This is probably going to be crazy talk, but I would probably take Sorel because and I know that they've gotten rid of the shift in major leagues and they need to do it in college, by the way. But Jace, it's such a wild shift, and he doesn't ever try to beat it. So I don't know if he's just trying to smash the ball over the fence or if he can't. Like Caden Sorrell can spray the ball over the field. Jace is a primary pull hitter. And so not being able to work the ball off your back kind of directionally more of an it's like a Cal Ripken thing, right? You couldn't shift him because there's no point in it. He'll just hit it where you just to the spot where you just left. They both have absolute plus speed in the outfield. They can play any of the outfield positions. Man, if you'd asked me this before this year, or before he even came back from injury, I would have said Jace. But now I think it's. I don't think you go wrong either way because I don't think that you miss out on any one of the five tools by grabbing one over the other. I think if Jason, we got, excuse me, Jason, Cade, we got Caden Sorrell for one more year, right?
He's a
So he's
sophomore.
got, so he's got a little bit of time to put just a little bit more meat on his frame without it affecting his play. And so if you're talking about like this year to next year, like what I've, like next year's Sorrell to this year's Jace, like to make it apples to apples as best you could. I'd probably take Caden Sorrell over Jace. It's Jace has shown a propensity to have a real big hole in his swing this year for some reason, which we just didn't see a lot of last year. And you just don't see Caden Sorrell strike out a lot.
And I guess the other factor I do consider is when it does come down to like GMs, the other thing to consider is if you look at like I got like Jason, where's his build? He's kind of similar to like, Aaron Judge, like just bigger guy, right? He just, taller, bigger frame. And typically those tend to break down quicker, especially when it comes to the MLB with the consistent schedule and all that other stuff where Caden's not nearly as big, but still is able to produce. And that's something else to also consider. But
But he's had an injury.
he has had an injury too. So that's where the other factor comes in. But yeah, I
That
mean,
would be probably one of the most difficult decisions to make if they were if Caden had one more year of development and it was between those two. I mean you're 1A and you're 1B, and I don't think there's a wrong answer.
that's honestly hilarious because that's exactly what they said on here. It's kind of a 1A, 1B situation. They said the
There you
exact
go.
same thing. I don't think you could go wrong with either of them. I think they're both great players. I love the development we've seen out of Sorrell this season, no question. Especially, being able to bounce back from injury like that. And that's not easy to do.
Yeah, and just the power that he's brought has been bonkers.
That has been excellent. So, I mean, that's about all I had for today. I mean, pretty quick.
Mean, we can get into we can do a quick just get into this weekend series right quick. We already talked, I think, in depth about baseball just because we were going through the schedule so much. Softball playing the Lady Vols, number one team in the country. That place should be absolutely rocking. So, if you have time, flip it on. I would absolutely advise that you watch that. I guess I won't say anything about Wrexham for the people that watch it and don't actually follow Wrexham. I guess I won't say anything. Or how about this? If you watch Wrexham and you don't keep up with Wrexham in the league, you should mute us and give me about 20 seconds starting now. It is absolutely unbelievable how Hollywood story this has turned into reality kind of thing. This is one of those where like you can make a movie out of so many sports things, right? Just the things that happen in sports are so film worthy. It everywhere you look, this is gone the complete opposite direction, and this is basically a TV show that has turned into sports glory. So the fastest rise ever in the history of English football pyramid. I just it's absolutely bonkers what they've been able to accomplish over there. And kudos, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's something. As far as the Premier League is concerned, I saw something and somebody was like, I bet Sky Sports is absolutely thrilled that both the relegation and the championship battle is done with like 5 weeks left in the season. Like nobody gives a crap because everybody knows what's happening in the league. Like it's done. It's done and dusted. West Ham can literally lose every single match here on out, and we can't be relegated. They're done. The three teams that are going down know they're going down. The team that's won the championship knows they're winning the championship. And they like you guys could play all your 18 U's and it wouldn't matter because you're going to win.
Exactly. Doesn't
This,
matter.
I bet you Sky Sports is pissed.
Yeah. Well, because I mean you've lost out on all of the tension. I mean, outside of maybe Champions League spots, but even then.
Yeah, European spots, but that comes in way behind watching the championship and the relegation battles throughout the season.
Well, I mean, that's where all the drama is, right? I mean, it's always like, all right, especially, going years back, even. I mean, when we had what, the year that Liverpool got 97 points to City's 98 and it came down to the last day. I mean,
That
if you
was a
go,
fascinating season.
God, obviously wrecked me, but at the same time, just me.
Everybody's watching.
Everybody's watching. It's so cool to keep up with. But I mean, and I'm obviously God bias. I'm happy we won the league. It's done.
I'm happy
Cool.
Arsenal didn't.
Yeah, we're happy Arsenal didn't because fuck them, but it's fine. But
Well, and what's crazy is at the beginning of the season, if we'd have done table, maybe we'll do this next year. We'll try and start doing it annually, like
it'd be
how
cool.
what do we think the table's going to end up like? I think the overwhelming majority of people would have picked the three that are going down.
Yeah, unfortunately, and see, that's been a trend, I guess, in the Premier League over the last several years. It's like so often you get the teams that come up and they go straight back down.
The
With
yo-yo clubs.
Well, and you had Leicester, who has been a stable portion of the Premier League, has kind of trickled off, unfortunately. Would have been nice to see them up, but when your best player's getting ripped out, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, crazy to think that Vardy's not going to be a Leicester.
Craziness, isn't it? I mean, he's been there forever, but
Yeah.
I mean, literally ever. And it's unfortunate to see them go down. But incredible rise for Wrexham. I mean, they go from getting into the Football League and then have just gone, oh, hey, let's just go ahead and take care of business in League One. All right, let's take care of business in League Two. They're in the championship this year. That's for those who aren't listening, who aren't aware, that's the tier right below the Premier League. They shouldn't be there, but they
And they
are.
were what, next to bottom when the show started? Like League One or whatever, wait, or League Two
League
or whatever.
Two.
Yeah.
Actually, hell, I think they were actually in the National League before that. So they had to get brought back up into the, had to be brought up into the Football League so they could enter Tier Four.
You might
So
be right. Yeah, just absolutely
insane.
bonkers. Unbelievable story. If you've never watched Welcome to Wrexham, I highly recommend it. Start at season one, and it's amazing. They decided to do a show about something that they were passionate about, and it has turned into an amazing sports story. So, highly recommend.
Yeah, definitely, I highly recommend. But, well, it's getting big series on both diamonds this weekend. With A&M and LSU, A&M taking on
Series
Texas A&M.
wins would be epic because it would take some pressure off of the baseball team. Not much. They still don't have a whole lot of wiggle room, but a series win against LSU would take a ton of pressure off baseball. A series win against number one Tennessee in Knoxville would do wonder for their super seeding, like
Oh,
their
yeah,
super
but
seeding.
super seedings, and of course, like, hey,
Yeah,
we just took
just.
that number one.
Yeah, wash Arkansas out of your mouth. Flush it down the toilet. Whatever you got to do with it. And yeah, if they can win the series in Knoxville, that would be absolutely epic. Like heading into the postseason, because again, conference tournament doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatever sport it is. It's shown that it doesn't matter. So yeah.
Outside of you winning it, and even then.
Yeah, outside of you winning it and you having been on the outside looking in otherwise.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Yep. Be sure to follow us on our socials. That would be, of course, the Red Ass Podcast on both X and Instagram. Be sure to follow Roy May 15, Roy May Jr. That's on X as well as Instagram. Rob the Slapper on both as well. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. And yeah, let us know if you guys have any other topics and things you want to get into as we move on into the summertime, because we will be getting into a bit of a slow period
Running
sports-wise.
out of sports.
Run out of sports to talk about, and we can only analyze MLB so much, and it's so.
Well, it is still Stanley Cup hockey season, though. So, and
Yes.
it's the best playoffs in all of sports. And it doesn't matter what sport you like. I'm telling you, if you ever watch it, you will understand it is high flying, high speed, high intensity. It is awesome.
It is so much fun. I
Yeah, had a
absolutely.
nice bounce back during the week after last weekend of just complete crap. Astros sucked. Baseball, softball, like it just kind of all sucked. And then, like, the Rockets are kind of, the Rockets got back into it last night. Got the Stars playing for it. They got two games to win one. So
All starts tonight.
exciting. Huh?
All starts tonight.
Yep. And then tomorrow we get to watch the Diamonds. Oh, you know what? I do want to make two quick plugs. And these will be plugs that I probably do for the next couple of weeks. One, this weekend I'll be there. It started last weekend. Bach Realty Group, we are the main stagers and one of the title sponsors for the St. Jude Home giveaway every year here in BCS. This year, you go on our socials, like just of course, as soon as I need to remember it, the address escapes me. But go on our socials. It's a house in Mission Ranch. It's valued, I think, somewhere around $470,000. A bunch of the builders and contractors and everything have all donated everything to build it for free. All right. You can buy tickets for $100. And for $100, you'll be put in a raffle to win the house. And
Nice.
so swing by on the weekends. We'll have open houses. I'll actually be there this Saturday from 9 to noon. I'm working it every weekend for the next couple of weekends. But and you can come by and if you just sign, we have a sign up. Doesn't cost you any money. You can sign up and we bought a golf cart to give away as well. So you can win a golf cart. And so, but obviously for a great cause, if you're in BCS, and if you're not, just check out our socials, check out Bach Realty Group socials and my socials. We'll have links so you can buy a ticket if you'd like to enter the raffle. I cannot, obviously, because I'm a volunteer. But and then we just finally got everything finalized. The Aggieland Post 1938, of which I'm a post commander. It's the new American Legion Post in College Station. The College Station VFW, the Marine Corps League, and Race Across America. We've all gotten together and we're putting on a Memorial Day program in Veterans Park on Memorial Day. And the program itself will be about 30 minutes. The keynote speaker is actually my dad, Colonel retired Roy May Sr. Fighting Texas A Class 66. So keynote speaker, then afterwards, we'll be giving away hot dogs and chips and drinks and everything. Everything's going to be free and just kind of mingle and hang out. So I'm going to plug that every week until we get to it. But yeah, we'd love to see you all out there. It's an open event for the community.
I do have one additional plug I'm going to go ahead and make because we're trying to start something here. So we have the Brazos Valley Live Music Association, brand new organization that has just been spawned, largely thanks to Jared Lane as well as Adam Drake. For those of you who don't know those two, they're both very highly involved with music in and around the area, and they're really trying to stoke the fires of our music scene in Bryan-College Station ever since we've been losing some venues. They have the Music in the Moonlight series, which is kicking off on May 15th this month. They're going to have Dub Miller, Fighting Texas Aggie Dub Miller, Lucas Jagno, and current A&M student Molly McDonald, which will all be performing over at Lake Walk. And that'll be starting off at 6 p.m. and going to 10:30. If you want more information about that, go to BV Live Music on Instagram, and I'm pretty sure they have a Facebook too. But be sure to go there and go get some information on this upcoming series because we like music and we want more music around here. So if you guys are wanting to see that grow,
I
please go check
concur.
it. Yes.
We all want more music around here.
Exactly. I love playing at the tap, but if we can get more places, I'm not going to cry about it. We need to really stoke the fires of
More
people.
places and more artists coming in, too.
Yeah, exactly. And continuing to foster a lot of the young artists that are in the area, because there's plenty of great musicians that just don't have a lot of places to go. So if we can start stoking that would be amazing. So that's what we're trying to do. I'm excited for it. And once again, we'll have more information for you as we get a little bit closer. But I am Rob White. He is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of LSU. Beat the hell out of Tennessee. Beat the hell out of finals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.